You pray with me. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are the one who gives us strength. You are the one who redeems us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. At the end of a revival service, the evangelist who had been preaching invited people to come forward if they wanted someone to pray for them. A gentleman arrived at one of the pastors who was there. When the minister asked about his prayer request, the man said, "Reverend, I need you to pray for my hearing." The evangelist quickly placed his hands over the man's ears and prayed fervently for healing of his hearing. And when the minister finished praying, he looked at the man straight in the eyes and shouted above the choir singing, "How's your hearing now?" And the man loudly replied, "I don't know yet, preacher. My hearing ain't until next Wednesday at the courthouse." The truth of the matter is, folks, we often think we know the meaning of what people are saying or asking. We also think that we understand all the time what we're saying and why. However, unless we hear the reasons or think about them, we can easily forget the meaning that it has for us or for the other person. It's easy for us to misread the situation. And this is especially true when we think of the Lord's Prayer. We say it every week in worship. We think we know what we're praying, but in actuality, we may be getting it all wrong or not really even thinking about what we're praying because we're just so used to the words floating off our tongue. So this Lenten series, I will be taking the petitions of the Lord's Prayer and looking at them with you to reclaim the prayer from our rote understanding, as it were. Kind of get us to think about what it is we're really saying again in the prayer. And I've said it before about the Lord's Prayer, that when you really look into it, when you pick it apart, it is a radical prayer with a lot of meaning and significance about what it means to be a follower of God and of Jesus Christ. So today I'm talking about that very first verse. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Simple. There's a wonderful cartoon titled "God as Artist, Loving Artist." And it's a picture of God sitting there in a robe with his halo over his head, drawing a face on a piece of paper, and it's a smiley face with a big smile on the mouth. And next to God is a human drawing a face, but it's a sad mouth. And the caption is from our James passage, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." The truth of this matter is, when we anthropomorphize, I'll define that in just a minute. When we anthropomorphize God, in other words, we give God human attributes, we risk also of giving God human understandings and ways of doing things. It becomes easier to think of, "I'm a human and I'm a sad person," where God sees a wonderful, happy, smiley person. And this is a problem right off the bat with the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father." With those words, we easily put God into human constructs. We think, okay, this is what a father is like. This is what a father does. However, God anthropomorphized as a father does not fully explain all the attributes of God. Chris Glazer, in a piece entitled The Lord's Prayer, What It Means to Me, writes the following. God, Mother, and Father of us all. That's how he starts off the Lord's Prayer. Then he says, theology rather than ideology prompts me to begin the Lord's Prayer in this way. My own mother and father loved me in different ways, and I love them in different ways. So addressing this prayer to both mother and father, God feels more complete. Now, he says, I don't view mother and father and male and female as binary, but rather as the ends of the spectrum. So it's not an either or, but a both and. Saying mother and father is more personal for me. Now that may be too radical for some people to think of God that way. But you know, it does remind us that God is greater than our human words can convey. Which is precisely why when Moses asked God, so what should I tell people when they say, who sent you? He was wanting God's name. And God said, my name is I Am That I Am. Or a better translation of it is, I shall be what I shall be. God was not going to be pegged into our human constructs and words that had the inability to convey the totality of God. And God would be different things to different people, depending on what they needed at that time. The names of God, as I said earlier, on our atmospheric table, don't even begin to convey the totality of God. There are 77 different ways or more that God is referred to in the Scriptures. But even all of those 77 don't convey the fullness of God. What the use of Father in the opening of the prayer, I believe, is supposed to denote that we can have an intimate relationship with this God who is so much more than all of our conceptions of God. In other words, we think of this God, this whole being that we can't even begin to fathom, and it's easy to say, I can't have a relationship with that God. But then when we bring it down and say, our Father, now that's something I can have a relationship with. I can talk to God, I can pray to God anytime, anywhere. The late Roman Catholic priest and storyteller Anthony DeMello tells the story of a little fish, which I've shared with you before. Excuse me, said an ocean fish. You are older than I, so can you tell me where to find this thing called the ocean? The ocean, said the older fish, is the thing you are in now. Oh, this? But this is water. What I'm seeking is the ocean, said the disappointed fish, as he swam away to search elsewhere. The small fish couldn't deal with the largeness of the ocean. He was trying to find something that he could get his mind around. Continued to search for something he could understand. God as Father is something we can understand and praise Him. And I think that's also, that's why James said, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. When we can have that relationship, when we can feel like God is right there for us, then we will know God is right there. And then we notice the prayer starts off, "Our Father, not my Father." You see, this keeps us or prevents us from making God our own to the exclusion of others. And it reminds us that God is the Father and Mother of all people. We're all in the same family. We all have the same Creator. And because of this, we cannot disrespect any member of the family. And I'm not talking just the Christian family. I'm talking the human family. Our Father makes the family of God an all-inclusive family. Whether others realize it or not, or whether they worship our God or a different God, as Paul says to the church at Galatia, there's no longer Jew or Greek, there's no longer slave or free, there's no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. All earthly designations are broken down. And there's no longer gay or straight, there's no longer Christian, Muslim, or Jew, for we are all part of God's family. That's what's so sad for me about what happened in St. Louis this past week, when our brothers and sisters of the United Methodist Church voted to put the walls or keep the walls up that they had put up a long time ago and even strengthened them a little bit by saying that LGBTQ people could not be ordained to be ministers and could not be married in Methodist churches. They put up a big wall in the human family. And I was talking this weekend with my daughter Allison, who you know is a student at Union Seminary. And there are a number of Methodist students at Union Seminary. And they are so devastated with this ruling. Some of them probably because it means they can't be ministers. When we say our Father, we are speaking of a God who loves all of God's family without any exception, like any good parent would. Who is in heaven? We often think of heaven as that otherworldly place where everyone's dressed in white robes playing harps. That's the stereotypical comic cartoon of heaven. But the gospel writers and others have said that heaven is both then and now. Then meaning the next life, and now meaning here in this life. We can experience heaven even here while we live this life. Frederick Buechner describes heaven as the place where your greatest joy meets the world's deepest need. Where your greatest joy meets the world's deepest need. God meets us in those places. Celtic Christianity describes those places as thin places, where the presence of God is so palpable that there is no doubt that God is there in that place and time. We can recall when Jesus was in his home synagogue and he read the following from the Isaiah scroll. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, oppressed to go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then after he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendants, he said to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That synagogue suddenly had become a thin place where the presence of God had come and enveloped everyone there. That was a piece of heaven, whether they realized it or not. God was present, scriptures were being fulfilled, and the people were touched by his gracious words until he began to talk about how he couldn't do any miracles there. Then they got a little upset. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. This reminds us that God and God's name is sacred. It's set apart. It's special. I have a book of Jewish folklore at home. A compendium of Jewish folktales. An interesting common thread as you read all the stories in these folktales is that the name of God is so special that only one person in any generation knew it and could say it. The true name and how it was pronounced. Because the name brought great power to those who could say the name of God. Of course, God, the Ten Commandments begin with, the Lord God spoke all these words, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Hallowed be your name. We need to keep God sacred. We need to keep God special for us, but still not so special that we can't have a relationship, that we can't talk to that God. God is so much more than we could ever imagine or perceive. And yet God desires to be in an intimate relationship with each of us. God's not far away, but right here. And there, and there, and there, and there. And we must respect God's sacredness. There is a lot packed in that first verse of the Lord's Prayer. There is an ocean of meaning in them. Now, we can't remember all of that as we pray the Lord's Prayer. But what we can do is we say the prayer, but maybe just center our minds on just our Father. And when we're done, just kind of think, what does that mean to me again? Or, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean to me again? But I hope we will think of these things at different times when we say the prayer. And of course, that's only the first verse. There's a few more to come yet. And they're packed just as well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen.